This is Sharon Grant for the Ole Mole Variety Hour. A new school year has begun across the country. What better time for me to be reading from the article, In the Wake of Uvalde, A Teacher's Plea for Police-Free Schools, by Natalia Braginski, found in the fall 2022 of Rethinking Schools. And it starts. For educators like myself, no matter how far we teach from Uvalde, Texas, the mass shooting at Robb Elementary, like so many before it, is still palpable in our classrooms among students and teachers alike. In this new school year, as we yet again ask what should be done, students and teachers who sit at the center of this crisis as its primary victims must be decision makers at the forefront of any societal response. Instead, this shooting has prompted renewed calls by national Republican lawmakers to arm teachers. 28 states already allow staff to carry guns in schools. And since the Uvalde shooting, some are trying to make it even easier. In Ohio, where I grew up and attended public school, Republican lawmakers have fast-tracked approval of a bill that not only allows teachers to be armed, but also reduces the required training for carrying a gun in school from 737 hours to just 24 hours. These calls to arm educators come despite vehement opposition by my union, the American Federation of Teachers, AFT, and the largest teachers union in the country, the National Education Association, or the NEA. Like fellow educators responding to the Uvalde school shooting, I agree that now is the time for us to double down on calls for comprehensive gun reform, but that is not enough. Now is also the time for us to stand in solidarity with our students in the fight for police-free schools. Critics may say it's the wrong time to take such action, but this is the exact moment to renew the demand for care, not cops. Previous high-profile school shootings have led to drastic increases in armed police in the public schools. A 2020 report from the Education Policy Research Center at the University of Florida found that in response to the 2018 Parkland school shooting, the number of cops in Florida schools nearly doubled. National studies have shown that the presence of police in schools leads to 3.5 times more arrests of youth, and in some states, as high as 8 times more arrests. This approach criminalizes students for normal adolescent behavior, and these arrests disproportionately target Black students and students with disabilities, both of whom are 3 times more likely to be arrested by school police than their white and non-disabled counterparts. What's more, many of these schools hire cops at the expense of counselors, nurses, school psychologists, and social workers, the very people who could play a crucial role in preventing school shootings and supporting students through the many traumatic crises they are facing. Uvalde spends approximately 40% of its city budget on police, and the school district has its own 6-officer police department. By now, we have all heard that police were inside Robb Elementary minutes after the gunman entered, yet they failed to stop him. Outside, even more police handcuffed and pepper sprayed parents who attempted to make their way into the school to save their children. The fact that police do not protect young people, even during a mass shooting, is damning enough. But the full truth is even worse. A 2021 study conducted by violence researcher Jillian Peterson examined the past nearly 40 years of school shootings and found that, quote, the rate of deaths was 2.83 times greater in schools with an armed guard present, unquote. This finding suggests that police presence does not prevent violence. Instead, it potentially makes school shootings nearly 3 times more deadly. Quote, an armed officer on the scene was the number one factor associated with increased casualties after the perpetrator's use of assault rifles or submachine guns, end quote, the study concluded. Young people, especially youth of color, have resisted these illusions of safety and have envisioned and fought for alternatives. As one student said, quote, we protect ourselves better than the police do, end quote. They added, quote, the students of New Haven have said, we don't want police in our schools, end quote. Young people in New Haven and across the country have long been leading this struggle for police-free schools. In June 2020, many educators joined that fight, rallying for the removal of police from their schools and for investment in mental health supports. Since then, according to Education Week, quote, 49 districts serving about 2 million children have ended their school policing programs or cut their budgets, end quote. This is but a small fraction of all the school districts in the country, but it is a start. Teachers now have a critical choice to make, one laid out at a recent panel of high school organizers, co-hosted by the Anti-Racist Teaching and Learning Collective and the Zen Education Project. This panel brought together 12 high schoolers from across the country to discuss their organizing in response to the crises of our time. As Caitlin Savato, a Chicago public school student, put it, quote, teachers are either abolitionists or they're police, end quote. In the wake of yet another school shooting, calls to arm teachers are attempting to enlist us as police. But the answer to this moment isn't becoming cops, and neither is it welcoming more cops into our schools. This moment, which we know will befall us again, calls for reimagining what true safety means and working with our students to make that a reality. This moment, with all its grief and loss, calls on U.S. teachers to march alongside our students in the movement for police-free schools. This is Sharon Grant for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I just read excerpts from the article, In the Wake of Uvalde, A Teacher's Plea for Police-Free Schools, by Natalia Briginsky, found in the Fall 2022 edition of Rethinking Schools.